I want to read this. Hopefully we can talk about it later in relation to our other great friend. He was a crook. A scathing obituary of Richard Nixon, originally published in Rolling Stone on June 16, 1994, by Hunter S. Thompson. Memo from the National Affairs Desk. Date, May 1st, 1994, from Dr. Hunter S. Thompson. Subject, the death of Richard Nixon. Notes on the passing of an American monster. He was a liar and a quitter, and he should have been buried at sea. But he was, after all, the president. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habituation of devils and the holds of every foul spirit, a cage for every unclean and hateful deed. Revelations 18:2. Richard Nixon is gone now, and I am poorer for it. He was a real thing, a political monster straight out of Grendel, and a very dangerous enemy. He could shake your hand and stab you in the back at the same time. He lied to his friends and betrayed the trust of his family. Not even Gerald Ford, the unhappy ex-president who pardoned Nixon and kept him out of prison, was immune to the evil fallout. Ford, who believes strongly in heaven and hell, has told more than one of his celebrity golf partners that, quote, I know I will go to hell because I pardoned Richard Nixon. In the shadow of Rockford Tower, behind enemy lines, in the belly of the Delaware Way Beast. Hello, this is Rob. This is the Highlands Bunker Podcast. Welcome to it. As usual, K. Foster Stomberg, super producer Carl, in the house. Hello, Carl. And crew to talk about many news items that we need to catch you up on. We have Bill Martin. Bill, hello.
Good evening, Rob.
Jordan Howell, Delaware Call. What's happening?
Howdy.
What's going on, fellas? I did want to let you know that this afternoon, Burnley won 2-1 away. No, they were home to Sheffield United. They'll be going up to the Premier League next year. So
Burnley's back. This is the first I'm hearing about it, and I know they're going to be a great team next season.
The pride of Lancashire.
All right.
So I was like, that's beautiful. They're back.
Yeah.
As Spurs go like this, Burnley's going like this. So before we get on to our main story, which has to do with a crackdown on dissidents here in Delaware, I'm sure you're shocked by this. But before we do that, I want to mention some interesting news regarding an incident from last summer. You all will remember. Hanif Salam was planning a Positive Vibes in the Park in August that was going to talk about police reform and accountability. It was going to platform, I guess, victims of police misconduct, and we were going to have like a barbecue in the park. Famously, the city of Wilmington said no dice. The cops basically kicked us out of Wilmington. And we had the event at the Route 9 Library. Subsequently, the ACLU has filed suit against the city for violating Hanif's right to free speech and free assembly. The person who was sort of the point person between the city and the police and Hanif was this woman who I guess, I don't know what the technical term is. I know there's a city fest. There's like a city arts and culture department. And the person there, Tina Betts, was the person who basically gave the information to Hanif that they were canceling the event. A lot of weird sort of back and forth. Anyhow, ACLU sues. The city obviously is a party to it. Tina Betts, Betts, right?
Betts.
B-E-T-Z. She is personally named in this lawsuit for rights violations. Well, I just found out that the Urban Arts Exchange, which is City Fest's name for everything at the Clifford Brown Walk. So there's like an amphitheater. There's a bunch of old stalls there that can use as art space and all that. They call it the Urban Arts Exchange.
Yeah, it's the old, I guess, municipal horse stables, right?
Correct. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, next to the Urban Bike Project.
I say Urban Bike Project.
Exactly, exactly. Well, they call it the Urban Arts Exchange. I always remember it because they call it the UAE. And I'm always thinking, like, what the hell? We're going to, like, Doha, Qatar. We're going to Abu Dhabi. But they call it the UAE. Anyway, I just found out that they renamed the park the Tina Betts Urban Arts Exchange. I think that that is the fucking stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. It just shows you what a fucking dump this city is and what how nasty the people are. You know, so I guess this woman gets to do the bidding of the police and kick somebody out of the park and out of the neighborhood, and then gets a nice little sinecure or nice little like honorific or whatever you want to say it is. But I was fucking shocked. I guess because it just seems so. Not because I didn't think the city would do it. Obviously, you know, the Przicki and Carney and the police, they're all terrible, terrible people. But just something so petty to do. Be like, we're going to honor you with this, you know, and just knowing that you were the point person to kick them out. You know, your name is still on a lawsuit right now for doing it. That's classic. I mean, that's classic.
It's such a weird thing to do, too, when the person still works for the city. It's like, it's not even like the retirement gift or like,
passed.
Like, you're like, oh, they're dead. Oh, that's good. Oh, no, they're not even dead.
You're still doing Clifford Brown, huh?
Yeah. So, I'm just, you know, it just shows you how, you know, kind of how the city operates, the scummy, backstabbing bullshit that happens in this city. And frankly, I think it's an embarrassment that could have even happened. But I know that kind of stuff sort of flies under the radar. I actually didn't believe it at first, and then I looked it up and I sent it to you guys. I'm like, nope, it's real. I literally did not believe it. I think because, you know, like you said, it's just, she still works for the city, I guess, and so it's like, what? It doesn't really make any sense other than to dab on us, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it's like a president putting his own face on the dollar bill while he's still president. You know, it's like, naming a building after, like, you know, like naming the mayor's office after the current mayor, you know, the sitting mayor, you know, it's just a weird thing. Like, it's a very weird thing. It's unusual.
Yeah. I just want to point that out because I think it fits with, some of the other things we're going to be talking about tonight. So
I think we're going to get the John Carney City Council building within 4 years.
Just remember, buddy, Jack Markell got to be the ambassador to Italy and San Marino, and you get to be mayor. That's how much we think of you, you dirty rat.
And he probably won't even take any of those cool trips to the UAE that took place during previous administrations.
Oh yeah, Przicki and Chris Johnson doing like a groundbreaking in Abu Dhabi, some fitness club or something. Yeah,
that's such a great pre-COVID memory.
Oh man, was that pre-COVID?
Yeah.
I remember saying it and thinking, "Oh my god!" It's just, again, it's not that I couldn't believe it. It's just almost too on the nose. Like, how did this happen? Like, we kind of sussed out. We talk about it. Before, you know, Chris Johnson was a early guest on a couple of episodes, and we sort of sussed him out where he was at. And so when I saw it, I wasn't surprised he was there. I was just surprised that it happened. I'm like, this is the fucking goofball from down the street that was in the studio like 6 years ago. He's over there. He probably flew Emirates on our dime. Like, I'm just like, I can't believe it.
They probably got curious where all their U.S.-based subsidiaries are located. They're like, Wilmington, Delaware? We should be friends with those people. Let's invite some of them over here. And we'll have them do a little groundbreaking or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Oh, and they have a port?
Well, they had a port.
They had a port.
Yeah, now it's another port. If it's still a port, that's another question. At this point, I'm I mean, I guess we can get back to that a little bit. I still don't really even know. I stopped following it. I know, I guess the Senate confirmed a couple of Myers picks for the board, the port board, but not others.
Right.
And I think they do know that because you're telling everybody that we're in this like financial strife, like that's how you sold SB 21. That's why a couple of weeks ago, you know, we interviewed Amy Rowe and Sarah Bucic. They had a bill about lead paint. That's being reworked. I saw today in the news because Carrie Evelyn Harris was like, we can't do it because it's a fiscal crisis.
She was also like, this bill is shit. Like the one that she just introduced.
Yeah,
she's like, I know it.
It's your bill, dummy.
This is so I could say that I, you know, at least introduced it.
Yeah, yeah. We can't do it, but I did it. Yeah, so I think there has to be some sort of acknowledgement in the back of somebody's mind that if we give a private company another $100 million, say, when we're telling everybody that we can't have school lunches or lead paint-free rental properties, I think maybe we might be able to organize a lot quicker. You know, it's pretty obvious like that they don't care about you. I mean, we know that they don't, but they kind of have to pretend every once in a while. And I think this one would be a big like, well, what are you doing? Like, how can you give that money away when we can't, you know, feed our kids or get lead paint out of homes, but we can, you know, subsidize another private enterprise to come in here.
About to lose our train service. It's piling up, man. Bad news is piling up.
I didn't even want to bring that up because I know you've been really down about it.
I mean, it's still like there's still time to act. There's still time to do something, but like no one cares. Like no one cares.
Yeah, I think your analogy with the mile of I-95 through Wilmington that we got like 5 years ago.
Oh, you saw that?
I mean, I saw the numbers, big numbers. but yeah, I mean, we redid the corridor, which was like 1 mile of 95 from like Maryland Avenue to Delaware Avenue, basically. For how much was it? $80 million?
$200 million.
$200 million. And it would have paid for Amtrak service for like 30 years.
SEPTA service. SEPTA, oh, yeah, 19 service. Years.
Excuse
yeah.
me, 19 years. 19 years, yeah. Thank you for checking on my math.
Oh, and we haven't even capped 95 yet, have we?
No.
Oh, the 95 cap,
that's
bro.
Definitely not happening now because we're in a fiscal crisis.
I mean, it's a crisis.
And we don't know what the Trump administration is going to do.
Well, here's the problem. Nobody will come out and just say, like, yeah, we run our state through, like, some flim-flam weird. It's either one-third is, like, fees from God knows what LLCs and trusts. And then the other big bit is, like, whatever the federal government will give us. Like, yeah, I mean, when you run things that way, when all the smart fucking blockheads run it that way, then you're going to run into these kind of problems all the time. Yeah. But nobody questions that part of it. They're like, oh, it's no money. Well, what did you do? How were we generating revenue? Well, you're not going to believe this. it's real dumb. Like, it's real convoluted. It's not consistent. It has nothing to do with like the stability of the state or the productivity of the state or value of the state. It's just moving numbers around. We're like, hey, we got this federal funds. Let's give it to a private port business and see if they steal it.
Hey, have you heard of property that has not been claimed by its intended owner yet?
Oh, buddy, that's a big one too in Delaware.
I know we don't. Don't we technically not do that anymore though? But
well,
or it's like
I thought we weren't supposed to.
We were penalized F out. Like I think I don't know. Maybe we had to settle with many states.
Yeah, because a lot of gift cards have because all like right. The gift card companies were like technically registered here, and so unclaimed gift cards or gift cards that went out of date or something that someone paid money for. Like, I guess somehow that just went into Delaware's budget for years.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can still do it or not. But yeah,
I never
all these flim-flam schemes, lots of schemes.
Yeah, we are the easy pass state. If you want to transact whatever you want to do, you pass under Delaware's like metal scaffolding. That's, you know, the equivalent that's over Route 1 on when you're driving to the beach.
We just get like, a nickel just, every time.
It's like, you want to traffic some humans? You just have to come through, you know, just come through and pay. It's not even $250,000. That's the big number that we used to scare people last month.
Yeah. That's a number. We don't even know if that's even really true, but yeah, just give us the money and,
no questions asked.
Do whatever you want. And actually, if you find out you can't do whatever you want, we'll just change it for you.
There you go.
That's just great. All right, let's get to the heavy shit, because I want to have fun at the end, but I want to get this heavy shit out. So I want to tell you guys a little story about my friend and comrade, Michaelina DeJesus. Michaelina is a Wilmington resident and an activist. I had met her a few times before, but not really until the pro-Palestinian protesters started organizing in Wilmington. And she was part of that movement too. She was one of the individuals who interrupted the State of the State address. She was involved in some of the pop-up protests. You know, we talked about an incident at Senator Emeritus's house, Tom Carper, where a woman was arrested and the charges, I guess she was acquitted or the charges were dropped at trial. But she's been around. So the thing at the State of the State address happened. They also interrupted Carney's announcement in Wilmington that he was going to run for mayor. And then later on last summer, they bird dogged his ass, Carney that is, at the Pride in the Park in Cool Springs?
Tilton Park. On the hilltop, baby.
On the hilltop, yeah. So here's sort of what happened. They bird dogged him and he got mad. There was a little bit of like, you know, pushing and shoving. There were some people like with like Team Carney. I know if I saw a Team Carney t-shirt, I would probably freak out myself. But anyway, these incidents happened. Months later, I guess they got a bug up their ass to really come down hard on somebody. So they came down hard on Michaelina. Actually, based on some stuff that happened in Philadelphia, she had her house raided with cops with drawn weapons. Those charges have been dropped. Big surprise. And now she was charged with two counts of offensive touching of a law enforcement officer and disorderly conduct for the incident at Pride in the Park. And I believe she's also been charged with disorderly conduct for the incident at Leg Hall. The trial for the park incident was just held last week. She was found not guilty of offensive touching of a law enforcement officer two times, but guilty of disorderly conduct. Got like a level 2 probation, but understanding, they actually asked for a no contact order against all of the governor's security teams, which was not granted because, again, she was found not guilty of doing that. But I just want to make it very clear, number one, that this is the state coming down on dissent. Okay, if you're mad at what you're seeing on the news every day, it's happening right in your backyard. I know we've been working on it a little bit from a journalistic standpoint. I know Jordan has a lot of background. There is a video of the incident at the park. So it can be reviewed. It was reviewed at trial. Basically what happened is if you're yelling at the governor and the governor's mad and his face gets beet red and that vein in his forehead's popping out, then people sort of like try to get you away from the governor. This happened to me at the State of the State too, when I was supposed to ask the question I didn't ask and a guy elbowed me out of the way. Like that stuff just, you know, just happens. But of course, like, Michaelina doesn't know that they're cops. She just sees a bunch of they're not in
They were plain clothes.
They're plain clothes.
And they did not have badges out on lanyards. They were, like, attached to their belts, and they did not have their shirts tucked in, so you could not see their badges.
Right.
Either, like, yeah.
So Mikey gets, kicked. I think her garment got, like, stepped on. She got pulled back. The governor actually makes a move toward her with his hands. The now mayor makes a move towards her with his hands. And she gets pulled back and pushed by just people in the crowd. And then she pushes back. Well, those people happen to be state officers, state troopers.
From the Executive Protection Unit.
Yeah. The funny thing is, on cross, the guy goes, the DAG, Petrucci goes, well, if you were assaulted first, she says, because Mikey's like, yeah, they left, and I went back to the table I was at and hung out with my friends until 7. She's like, I helped them clean up, to bring the tent down, and we went home. She's like, well, why didn't you call the police? And I almost laughed. Like, she's not a bitch. She's not a sniveling little baby. Because she just got into it with some people in the park, and she doesn't, you know, press charges because you want to come down on dissent. I know Jordan. We've talked to her. At this point, we're just going to say she has no comment on any of this right now because of the situation that's happening. But you went through the video. The other thing that I want to talk about is, and I had forgotten this whole, was it Dewey Beach this happened in? The incident, the horse punching incident, was it Dewey?
I think so, yeah.
So, like,
at least they were the police force who responded.
Yeah, 4 or 5 years ago, there was an incident in Dewey where a guy got arrested for apparently punching a police horse. Well, come to find out, it was all made up. It was all fake. The officer just was like, she was on a power trip, all phony baloney, basically lying in the report, lying about what happened, to the extent that the person who was arrested, and I don't know if it was thrown out originally or was they found not guilty, one or the other, actually filed a wrongful arrest lawsuit against the state and against the trooper who, guess what? Is the same trooper that was in Carney's. Carney's.
Oh, no.
Yes, it was the same. The same lying trooper. What was her name?
There's some great names in this story, Rob. Great names. So I'll lead with maybe the weakest name, but Helen Zane.
Helen Zane. I call her
Zany.
That's her. In Mikey's thing, she was Victim Zane.
Victim.
Oh, Victim Zane.
Damn.
Yeah, that Billy Zane. Talk hard to your friend Billy Zane. Yeah, but we can link to it. She's a known liar. So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
All right, so in the gentleman who was wrongfully accused of punching the horse, Gavin Coco.
The bird man, Coco.
I pretty much stopped reading the article when his attorney said, "We look forward to obtaining justice for Mr. Coco and clearing his good name." And I was like, "Yeah, he's got a great name.
He does have a high quality name. It's true."
And then there's two other officers here, Josh Deere, and Dewey Police Officer Jason Lovins.
Guy's probably about 23 years old.
Yeah,
yeah.
Some great names there, but I think Gavin Coco takes the cake, and he's well on his way to clearing his great name.
Gavin, here's to you, buddy. Yeah, I just want to do everything I can to get the word out. This is not something that is surprising to me or anybody we work with. But we also know that, the cops are on us. They're going to look at your social media. They're going to try to get into your emails. There is I saw a photo of a picture at the city county building. I guess it's at a front desk somewhere, like at the security desk or something. And Mikey's picture's there, like a Xerox picture of her mugshot, like a terrorist mugshot picture. I guess she's banned from the building in some fashion. I don't know. Now, I don't know whether that might have been after they disrupted something in the building or maybe Carney's announcement for mayor. But it's weird stuff. It's very weird. These people are very soft. So be careful out there. I can tell you, I did attend some of the trial. It was a 2-day trial last week. I didn't see the police give their testimony, but I definitely, you know, heard the cross examination, the direct and the cross of Mikey. And I can tell you that it's just so funny when you hear it, because they're like, well, I mean, he didn't want to talk anymore. Did you see him put his hands up? He doesn't want to talk anymore. Like, why would you keep talking to the governor if he doesn't want to talk? I'm like, what do you think this is?
It's a public space.
It's a park. Like, I'll run him right out of there. Like, I mean, look, pal, you know, if you don't like it, do something else. You know, unfortunately, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with this disorderly conduct. And it's funny because, obviously, you know, a group of people were bird-dogging Carney. A group of people disrupted the state of the state. A group of people disrupt Koontz's house and Carper's house. A group of people disrupted, you know, your event wherever it was. But when you get that one when you get your hooks into one person, you got to kind of ride that out to try to scare the group. And you know, I know a lot of people in this group. I hope that, you know, somebody's getting paid to timestamp this. We are not afraid of you. You're fucking weak. You're liars. You're cheaters. And you look stupid. I saw a dag in there, Petrucci. He's a big, gangly fucking dipshit. He couldn't even. I mean, you lie all over the thing. Jordan has calculated the lies in the original report, and you couldn't even get you know, guilty on the fucking offense of touching, because it's stupid. But hey, look, you want to come after somebody? Come after somebody your own size. Come after me. I fucking dare you to do it. I dare you to do it.
Can we just talk really quick about how insane the timeline is for this trial against Mikey? Because the State of the State address was March 30th. And apparently, like, after that address, they started, you know, according to, you know, some of the documents that we've you know, have been able to view, that's when the governor's office, the executive protection unit, started tracking her in some form or fashion. You know, including, like, you know, they said that documents show that she was the subject of multiple intelligence briefings, you know, given to the governor. Carney launched his campaign on April 29th, and she wasn't allowed in the building. She was in the building, but then I guess she, like, was stopped at the entrance and then had to leave.
Yeah, I think she was. I'm pretty sure, because I remember when it went down, I'm pretty sure she was stopped at the entrance and other people disrupted it, but I don't remember exactly.
Pride in the Park, then, was, you know, almost 2 months later, June 22nd. You know, again, by this point, like, you know, they knew who Mikey was. They were giving, you know, tracking her, giving intelligence briefings, you know, on her. But, you know, even after that, nothing. Base heard nothing until September 12th, when the police came knocking on her door with guns drawn. That is a gap of 2.5 months. Where, like, you know, and then, like, you know, I guess like 2 weeks before they broke down, or not broke down, but you know, did the early morning raid on her house. You know, there was some you know, a summons and arrest warrant issued for her. You know, whether or not she got that, I guess, is, you know, open to, you know, it was an open question. But, like, yeah, almost 3 months passed. And then, you know, they decided, okay, now we're going to come down hard on her. Like, you know, the whole thing, like, just stinks from the very beginning. Just seemed like a witch hunt. Trying to find someone who'd be, you know, who could be an easy target to make an example out of. Because then, you know, like, you know, hey, she is acquitted of the offensive touchings charges, but that still costs money. That still costs money to get a lawyer and to, you know, pay those charges. You know, they're making activists, pro-Palestinian activists, pay for their activism, you know, even for, like, you know, by filing sloppy charges against them is what it feels like. Or fake charges, rather. Not sloppy. Fake. Because, yeah, I watched that entire video of the encounter. I actually was there that day. but I just walked through. I was on like way to a neighbor's house.
I was there that day too, and I missed it. Yeah, it was later in the day. It was later in the afternoon. I was there at like 2 p.m. Were you there, Carl?
Yeah.
Oh, so you saw the incident.
I wasn't looking at it, but like I was around when it happened.
Yeah, because I remember I saw you there tabling, and I hung out for a while, but then I left, so I didn't see any of it.
I was going to say, nobody mentioned it. Like, all my neighbors were out there, you know, had beers on porch with folks, and our kids are playing in the park later. Like, no one mentioned it. Like, it was, like, you know, they keep mentioning the port that, like, they were growing loud and, like, yelling at, you know, Governor Carney. And it's like, well, the DJ that day was also playing incredibly loud music. Like, everyone was yelling there. It was, like, difficult to hear. Like, of course they're going to be yelling. Like, and I mean, but also, that even if they are yelling at him just for, you know, for being
you're a public figure in public.
Public figure in public.
We don't like you.
Who cares? It still doesn't matter. But no, the whole thing, you know, the whole thing just stunk, you know, from the very beginning. Just, you know, making up charges. And, like, the video, you know, does not sure, like, you know, it says that, like, oh, man, I have to, like, some language here from one of the ports that says, you know, De Jesus interrupted the governor's conversation in an angry and demanding tone. But that's not true. Like, the video, she came up and was having, like, a very calm and measured conversation with him until, basically, he started raising his voice, you know, against her and saying, like, you know, like, you know, at one point, he even said, you know, what, do you want to fight or something? Like, you know, he was the one who was losing his cool that entire time. And then out of nowhere, when she's following him out of the park, you know, one of the plainclothes police officers literally just kind of comes up and blindsides her, like, comes up from the side to push her away. Like, she doesn't know who's putting their hands on her, so she just pushes back. Like, you know, I don't even know if she could have seen the person. But then, like, you know, what does the incident report say? So the incident report says, you know, the police said, you know, they came up and said, I lawfully demand that, you know, you know, move away. And I lifted my shirt and showed my badge, you know, that was, you know, attached to my belt. Never happened in the video. Or unless there's some angle of the video, there's multiple videos. But unless there's an angle that I haven't seen, you know, they did not immediately identify themselves as police officers. You know, they came up from kind of like behind her and to the side and touched, put their hands on her first to, like, remove her. So, like, she didn't even, like, initially see, you know, who was just grabbing her body, you know. And so, you know, that's a good reason, I think, those charges for offensive touching got acquitted today, or I'm sorry, last week. Yeah. Because they were bullshit. They were made up. They were fake.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where you could do it, like, I guess the disorderly conduct, say, because we were there, and I wasn't in the chamber. You were on the side, and then you started talking to people outside. But, like, if, like, I guess they were all disorderly. Yeah, they disrupted an event for a to make a political point. So if that's disorderly conduct, how is one person guilty of it? You know what I mean? It's just like you're using the law to try to bully somebody, to try to make an example of somebody, as you said. And, yeah, it's not going to work. I'm going to redouble my efforts to make fun of John Carney anytime I see him in public now.
Incident report says that, you know, her and a group of Palestinian protesters surrounded the governor. At no point did they ever surround him. Just, like, flatly untrue. You know, they were never, you know, he was never surrounded. You know, no one was ever, you know, trying to, like, you know, touch or harm him or anything. You know, just complete bullshit.
Well, shout out to Brian Rick, I think is the defense attorney's name. He was pretty good as a, you know, as somebody who appreciates somebody putting on a good defense. There was a funny incident. I didn't see it, but I got it explained to me after the fact. So I guess there was, so Mikey had been, had given her testimony. She took the stand as a defendant because it's, you know, it's made sense. And then they start arguing, as our lawyers do, about what was going to be in the jury instructions. It's always fascinating. It's not. and then, so, Mr. Rick and Mr. Petrucci step out into the hallway. And then the other DAG steps out too, and the door's like half open. Now, I could hear them kind of having, I wouldn't say heated conversation, but they're talking about something. And because the judge had said, you know, the way the sound travels, he's up sitting high. He said, I'm going to step off the bench. I don't want to hear what they're saying. So he steps off the bench, and then the detective that was with the two AGs stands up, and in a classic, classic meathead speed freak cop routine, I almost made me laugh. He goes, "You want to say something to me?" And I'm like, "What the fuck is this guy talking about?" I'm looking at him like, "Come on, buddy." He said he's some kind of detective, I guess, because this was on Cops. There's a cop there. Maybe this was the guy who was in charge of the investigation. Can you imagine being a detective in charge of this investigation? Fucking kill yourself in a hypothetical way.
I will say that there are a lot of things in the report that were made up, but one thing that was true, it says that, you know, as Carney tried to leave, you know, they did continue walking after him, calling him a war criminal, you know.
We stand by that. I pretty much stand by that.
But also, like, oh, man, but
I do have to finish this. So yeah. Apparently the judge or somebody made a joke or just said something. Somebody said something, and one of the jurors kind of, like, laughed or, like, just chuckled to another juror, as you do, you know. And I guess the detective looked at them, and they looked at him, and they were saying, like, is he trying to signal the jury? You know, it's like one of those things. So he probably wasn't, but it was funny that they got him up out of his chair to be angry. Like, you know, it probably was nothing, but it's pretty funny. Anyway, sorry. I wanted to finish that thought because I just thought it was funny that they were like, is he signaling the jury?
Some of the details, I wanted to ask you if you like any of the details, some of the details you might have heard in the trial, because some of these, again, from the report are just kind of hilarious that, you know, speaking with one witness who says they were personally devastated by the incident and that, quote, many vendors have stated that they will not be returning next year because of what he did. It's like, why is that?
Shut up.
It's that's in the police report.
Yeah.
This is what
it's
detective,
really harming our small businesses.
This is what Detective Numbnuts was probably putting in there. His name's probably on there, the guy. Yeah, I mean, that's just, like, you got to be embarrassed. Don't you have any pride in yourself? Come on. I will say, and I'll give it a half a bell. I don't want to do it too loud. I was impressed. Once again, a Delaware jury, and just a court of common pleas, not even a superior court, a Delaware jury has to not only go to jury duty and be seated, listen to opening and the state's case, have to come back a second day for a court of common pleas, because you know people are just like, you got to be fucking kidding me with this. come back a second day, listen to testimony a second day, and render a very thoughtful sort of measured verdict. Once again, being like, oh, she didn't know they were cops. But again, can you really scream in everybody's face and cause a little commotion? I guess that equals to, you know, it's like if you're gonna one of those, you know, sort of like you're weighing it. And so, yeah, once again, the jury and the judge really sort of, I thought, were super professional. The one thing
they collaborated through a series of jokes and laughter.
There were some lighthearted moments, you know. Yeah, the only thing that was different, and I did see our the first day, I was hanging out in the press room to see if they were going to see the jury, and I saw our boy Sean. great, he's like, "What are you doing here, man?" And I talked to him a little bit. He was like, "Can you believe they're doing more construction?" I'm like, "Oh, you mean like they're putting the courthouse in the customs house?" He's like, "No, they're even doing more. We're gonna have to shut this street off." He's like, you know, he's like the project manager now, all the shit, because he's gonna have to communicate all these changes. I'm like, Sean, that sounds pretty boring, buddy. but I love that guy. Very nice dude.
Yeah, Sean's the best.
Just putting it together now, how close I could have been to potentially being in the jury pool for Mikey. I attended jury duty on April 2nd. So what? It would have just been, the next week? The week after that?
They
would have been pulling a jury for it. Yeah, that was probably 1 week away.
Yeah, it was Wednesday.
We didn't know, no trials the day I had to serve. So, you know, we all got sent home.
I think that was the only one. The one thing, and when you go to the Court of Common Pleas floor, it's sort of like the JP Court floor. There's like a clerk up there, and there's like a bailiff outside, so you can kind of get assigned, and they can go through it pretty quick, you know, if there's not a trial, if it's just like hearings and stuff. But they're like real. They're like, put your phone. I'm like, I got my badge. So, you know, it's like,
yeah.
And then I'm sitting in the back of the courtroom, and like Mikey's closer friends and family and stuff are sitting behind her. But the bailiff comes, one of the bailiffs come over and was like telling them to be quiet, they can't have their phone. You got to give it to the thing. So I got my fucking iPad out, you know, I'm taking notes and shit. So the other guy, there was a guy who was like the not the bailiff in the well, but one at the door. He was like, hey man, who you with? And I was like, I'm with the call. They were calling ODS. You know, I'm monitoring the trial. He's like, oh, okay. He's like, she saw your phone out. She's freaking out. And I'm like, I can have it. He's like, I know. But it was like, he was real chill, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was, it was funny. I was like, I have all my, I have all my credentials. Sean's right downstairs. We can go get Sean Sullivan right now.
Do you want me to get Sean Sullivan on the line?
Excuse me, Your Honor. I have to make a quick call here.
It's just zero in the courthouse.
It's like, running up. Yeah. So that's how that ended. And the one thing I will say, joking aside and putting that aside for a minute, I do appreciate being able to go and watch somebody get due process, because some people aren't getting it and people think it's a big fucking joke. I don't think it's a joke. And so, you know, whatever I think of how the process is being used, you know, why it's being used on particular people for particular reasons, and how much I hate John Carney, I was happy that, you know, there's a mechanism by which I can go and see what the hell is going on out there, and you get some semblance of a process. So that was good, I guess. Now we got to get back to something funny. So, who wants to read the BPG OSHA thing? Is it funny to read, or should we just talk about it?
It's short, honestly, because the article. I thought the article was well done. I thought you were going to lead with the Richard Nixon obituary tonight and segue right into this story.
Yeah.
Because you know under what president OSHA started.
Was it Nixon?
Nixon.
Yeah.
1970, I believe.
No, yeah, I started with that just because, and it'll probably be cut out, but I told you guys, I'll tell the listeners, we all have a pool here. I am hoping that John Carney dies before I do, so that in the Delaware Call we can write an obituary as scathing and funny as He Was a Crook by Hunter S. Thompson. So you're going to, just know that, John, when you're dead, you're going to be lying in a fucking box, and like 2 days later in the call, We're gonna speak ill of the dead. It's gonna be fucking hilarious. So anyway, if people remember, I guess it was over a year ago, right? They had an accident at the press, the place right across from Sam and
Rob One Pinocchio. It's actually the Humble Park Apartments.
Oh, that's right. I thought it was somebody corrected me on that before. Maybe it was called
on 4th Street. Yeah.
Yeah. Humble Park Apartments.
There's so many apartments popping up. I mean,
that one on ground that used to be a city park.
Right.
That was called, used to be Humble Park. It's Humble Park Apartments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, our friends at Buccini Pollen Group, they love public funds. They love public, you know, getting public tax incentives and little public spiffs. You know, they can get a new deck on their house in Stone Harbor or whatever. But when the public come to oversee their place there, when people get injured because floors are fucking collapsing at a construction site, they don't like the public that much. They don't like the oversight part of it. And so, yeah, three guys got hurt. I think it was all three men. Three men were hurt in an accident where I guess a temporary floor or some sort of floor in a construction site collapsed. And upon review, you know, I was talking to a construction expert today. He was like, yeah, they cut corners. That's what you do. And then, you know, the thing wasn't set up right, and guys fell through the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But as you do, I guess BPG wants their due process because they're appealing the fines that they got for safety for this incident, and I just I think people should know that these people are scumbags.
Wouldn't want to work for them right now.
You know what they remind me of? MBNA.
They do.
That's an inside joke. Sorry.
I mean.
Sorry, guys.
Four letters: BPGS, MBNA. I just like the way those people think.
They think of themselves as a customer.
That's right.
We could get deep into it. I don't know if I can handle it right now. Did you know? I know you've always wanted to do like the big MBNA piece.
Oh yeah, like it's kind of like meteoric rise, and then not really fall, I guess, but like sale to Bank of America.
I think it's a fall. It was a fall for Wilmington.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I was working there when those buildings were built, the Bracebridge downtown, the four buildings. And I moved from Levere's that they called Deerfield to there when they were built. And it's just so funny to have worked in them when they were literally full, to see like it being a ghost town. I don't really give a shit. I think it's funny. But it is a weird cycle, you know. Like, at least DuPont had they had over a century of better living through chemistry. Right. Whatever you want to say.
The army gloves.
I don't know how that just came to me at some
point. I love that.
I read it in like a book about Wilmington, or a history of Wilmington, and I can't get it out of my mind now.
I mean, how many
years?
You can't
get those chemicals out of the water now.
All the plastics from the gloves are in my brain.
How many years was MBNA actually in those buildings before they got bought out by Bank of America? Wasn't like more than 15 years, was it?
No. I'd say those buildings could have been five or less, no?
Let's see. I moved in there in 98 or 99 when they were just about done. So maybe they were open. They were pretty new in 98. Because I started working at MBNA in 96. And I moved into those buildings in, 97, 98. So 2007, 2017, they were all. The only thing I remember about the Bank of America sale is it became public because of a fucking helicopter crash on the Hudson. Oh no, that was the East River. It was a different river, but yeah, it was
in New York. Yeah, yeah. Manhattan.
Because they were like, why are a bunch of MBNA executives with a bunch of Bank of America executives and then swimming in the river? Yeah. So it might have been 15 or 20, I guess, potentially. But I think that would have happened. I don't remember when the sale was. But that's the max, 15.
Yeah. All those buildings that were like, that used to be part of, you know, East Side.
Right.
And, you know.
The Quarterly. All those pictures we saw in the Quarterly articles.
Exactly. Like, I mean, they're literally on French Street, right? Like, yeah. The Bracebridge buildings are on either side of French Street. And, you know, yeah, they tore that entire neighborhood down in the 60s and 70s, and it took over 20 years for those, you know, lots. And I know, some of those lots, I know, technically had some smaller buildings in them too, but generally speaking, like 20 years after, you know, the revitalization was supposed to happen, you know, they finally got someone to build something there. You know, it's just, you know, that, the kind of like, you know, rise of MBNA and kind of like over on top of this, you know, what used to be Black Wilmington and like this historic Black neighborhood is, you know, I mean, I don't know, ring the bell too. I don't know, it's a very, you know, it's a very story that's common all around this country, right? But like, you know, it seems especially, you know, especially relevant here.
Yeah. Yeah. I like I said, I could tell you guys some stories. That building, when they opened it, so there's this big sort of mythology around MBNA and around Charlie Cawley and around the senior executives and all of that. And so when the building was built, it was like, you know, he was like the new, it was like a sort of a new Gilded Age thing for him. And they had a collection of classic cars. Like, if you went into the building in the middle off of a French, where like the main, like the formal entrance was, there was like an old Duesenberg in there. You know, it's like the cafeteria. I wonder what it looks like now. I mean, I'm sure it's been stripped out, but the cafeteria was like all of these dark tables, like this desk and green booths, and it had all of these huge historic ships in big glass cases, like ships of the line and old schooners and all kinds of these old ships. There was a pool table in there. Apparently it was like, this is supposed to be a replica of his favorite restaurant in Singapore or some bullshit. Mm-hmm. It was in that building. It was a weird time. I found my little pin that I sent you the
nice
picture of.
Yeah, yeah.
You had to wear your pin because if you're, you know, it was like, you know, when I went to high school, if you didn't have your suit jacket on in the hallway, you'd get a demerit. It was like working at MBNA. If it was, you know, if Mr. Stover from physics caught me with my tie too low or something. it was a weird place.
A lot of people got very rich, right? A lot of people made a lot of money off of it.
Yeah.
And
I mean, honestly, I didn't do too bad.
But like Wilmington, though, kind of like generally speaking, this is like one of like the stories of Wilmington. We bring a lot of business in here.
You carve out the space to accommodate their wishes, and then poof, here's the scar that's left.
Yeah. Then they sell it, and then they make their money, and they leave.
Yeah.
And you know, Wilmington's basically not like, you know, it has a couple of buildings now that were empty. I guess now Insight's moving into them. You know, there's a school in one of them now. But seems like kind of a tough trade-off. You know, it's like, you know, we're going to destroy this neighborhood, and then 30 years later, we'll build some buildings that will, for this company, that'll last 15 years, or they'll be in there for not even 15 years. And then, you know, we'll figure out something to do with them later. I don't know, maybe not. You know,
so, yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. Kind of a shit deal.
Yeah, it was. They had the, you know, it was a formal office back then, like suits and ties and all that. And they had the signs all up, like, you know, think of yourself as a customer was their big slogan. So, but they had it on the walls, right? You think back, you're like, over the doors, they'd just have TTT. But you were taught that meant think things through.
Oh.
So they had like little codes up for you and stuff. Yeah, it's real psychopath shit. Sick shit. Fucking MBNA, bro. Yeah, they used to have a big big company picnic called the Corn Boil down at the big campus near the hospital.
Right.
That was really something. It's where you go see your boss's boss, probably get drunk. You're like, oh, I saw her drunk at the thing. You know, it was wild. Plus, it was because it was a
Who's calling my pager? I'm just trying to think actually what was going on at the picnic.
We got to shut down the call center. My pager's going crazy. Yeah, I mean, we didn't have phones, I don't think. 98, I mean, I guess I had a phone, but it was just like...
A car phone?
Yeah, it was like you could maybe pay more for texting or something. Yeah, it was some strange stuff.
Well, I like this idea of maybe a Patreon episode or a little series. We could tie it into some actual historical stuff too.
Yeah, but, and I could just give like the goofy stories.
Yeah.
Because it is funny thinking about that. Like, it was the main, like, everybody work there, go work there, you can make some money there, but only for that short period of time. And the other thing was because, you know, they brought it from like this regional bank to Delaware because of the usury laws, basically, and other reasons. I mean, I remember, so this would have been the third weekend in May of 96. I went to my new hire orientation, and after lunch, they give you the lunch, and then they have like somebody come from the senior operating committee, and everybody's like, people that work there are like, oh, it's this guy, Lance Weaver. Oh, who gives a shit? I don't know this person. But what they teach you, they have somebody from the senior operating committee come in. This is, you got to think of what date this is, May of 96, and teach you about securitization. So, you know, we have these programs to sell these loans to professionals and people who like NASCAR and all this affinity marketing. But we don't really make money off the loans. We package them up as securities and sell them as like, you know, low risk, high, you know, securities, and we can put them in different tranches and we can do all this stuff. And I'm like, okay. And that was like important information to have like 15 years later.
Well, yeah, 12 years later, I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, 12 years later. Like, well, that was the other thing. Yeah, 12, 97, 98. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, look, now they're doing it with DoorDash and Coachella tickets. People buying them with debt, and then like, you know, going to be packaging them with the securities. Did you see that? How like 60% of Coachella attendees did like the attend now, pay later version.
Oh no! Of the like Klarma.
Yeah. Oh, where you could pay in like
four installments. Not sure how that company's making money, but I'm sure they are. Yeah, if only you could travel back to like 2008, you wouldn't have to read those like Michael Lewis essays that everyone else did to figure out what the heck was going on.
I remember somebody asked me, because I lived in Newark at that time, and there was a couple of houses for sale in the neighborhood. Actually, Cuoco's neighborhood. Somebody said, oh, you should buy one of these houses before they go up too high. You can rent them or do this or do that. I'm like, no, bro, this is all fake. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, look, just don't buy any houses. That's what I'm telling you. You know what I mean? Don't do it. They're like, oh, yeah. Because, and the other thing was, friends of mine were getting transferred out of the Philly office that I worked in at Wells Fargo. We're getting transferred to like the Tempe office because the weather was nicer and they could get these huge homes with pools and palm trees. Get the palm, you know, things are expensive, those fucking trees. And they were doing it because that was with this housing boom. That's what was it was. That's what was going on. And I'm like, man, this seems like a fucking stupid idea, because they taught me securitization like 12 years before. Yeah. And so I was always making loans. I was always sort of close to the loan making process in some fashion, whatever I was doing. And I see how they do it. I'm like, I see what you're trying to do here. I know you want to charge this guy all this interest on this, but that's not, they're not going to pay it back. You know, it's like, I know you just want this for 3 months so you can put it with this other, you can bundle it in with this other junk. But, you know, it's a race to the bottom. It's everything's a race to the bottom. Any kind of like, any shit like that, that's all it is. It's like, how long can we string this out? That's it. I strung it out, well, 25 years. That's how long I lasted.
U.S. hegemony. How long are we going to string that out?
I can't believe you said that, because, you know, I'm famous.
I'm a punch bowl guy.
Oh, man. Yeah, we don't. I'm not talking about Trump too much, but it seems bad. Like, my thing is the ice. I saw the ice guy breaking that window mm-hmm. with, like, an axe to try to get into this car. Here's how I know we're kind of fucked. Because in the proper mindset, when you see an ICE agent with a sledgehammer breaking a window of somebody's car for just like no reason other than like just menace them.
Terrorize people,
yeah. Because they know they can't go in the car, they can't go in the house, but you know, they're going to try to terrorize people. In a regular society, you would keep that in your mind that... And if we do happen to get out of this in 3 years, say, those people get dealt with. You know what I mean? Not, you know what Obama did. He was like, we tortured some folks, and we're not doing shit. Yeah, well, this is why this happens. It's not we tortured some folks. It's like, that guy's got to go to fucking prison. Like, we need people, and nobody will, you know, what, are you going to talk to Sarah McBride about this? She's like, we torture them. We gotta have collegiality. You gotta send these motherfuckers to prison. You gotta be ready to do it. And if you're not ready to do it, which I know they're not ready to do it, I think we might be fucked. Because if we can torture people, if we can send them to Guantanamo, if we can assassinate American citizens abroad with Reaper drones, if we can invade Iraq and kill more people than have been killed in Gaza, if we can do all that and we can sign our life away to fucking NAFTA and the financiers, then we could just keep this going for probably another 20 years, maybe. But it's not looking great.
Yeah, what a time to be alive. I saw Bill Kristol tweet the other day something along the lines of, where do the abolish ICE folks go to get their apology?
Oh, damn.
All people, it's like, you're seeing, yeah... You know, even those, center-right, center-left, like, you know, milquetoast liberals kind of coming out and, like, obviously not very many, but coming around to, you know, some of the positions that people had, you know, but, like, you know, 7-8 years ago.
but here's the thing, too, is, Bill Kristol, I mean, what are you going to say, but... Even people who, like, I saw photos of that, that Rehoboth... Indivisible rally thing, whatever that was supposed to be. Like, I don't know what's the message. Like, what that thing I saw with Claire and Carrie's hand, like they were fucking Fred Hampton down there. They're not going to do fucking dick shit. It's fake. What was the message at that Rehoboth thing? It was like a national thing, right? I saw Meyer down there. Yeah, he's a real whirlwind. He's going to step up.
Yeah, I don't really know what their call is. What's the call to action?
Yeah, when AOC and Bernie go out, we're fighting oligarchy. We stopped having an economy where we produced or we manufactured to where we financed. We just talked about it.
Right. That's what I did. Yeah.
And for 25 years, we financed. That's what we did. And that's what we're still doing. And I don't care who puts their fucking fist in the air, like they're goddamn Black Panthers down there on the Rehoboth Boardwalk with people with their second fucking homes down there. Are you going to do something about it? Are you going to do something about the ICE agent who broke out that guy's window for no reason? Or dragging people off the street, sending them to a fucking concentration camp in El Salvador? You going to do something about it? You can't even get people fucking lunches here because it has a fiscal note. You're not going to do dick shit.
Are you saying you weren't inspired by Cory Booker's speech, Rob?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I didn't actually. It's funny because I didn't say it, but from what I said, you were able to deduce that I wasn't. No, it's fucking stupid. Look, 50%, at least 50%, I think for Democrats it's even more, are turning against Israel. They're like, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? This is crazy. But no, I mean, even fucking Bernie. At least he tries to stop the fucking arms. At least he's doing that. But no, Israel doesn't have a right to exist. 50% of the people already know. It's growing every day. Now, maybe we can't do anything about Israel existing at this point because of where we're at. But you better fucking face facts. You know, we're blowing people up over there. We got ICE, you know, running roughshod over any fucking student they could find that co-signed an op-ed. And we can't get lead paint out of homes because it's goddamn fiscal note. Yeah, I mean, it's just bullshit. I call bullshit on Claire Snyder Hall and Kerry because they are the two people I saw. But I know there are other people there. I call bullshit on Matt Meyer, too. You're not doing shit. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up. I do want to give everybody a heads up. Last week, you heard from State Representative Ray Moore. Hope you like that. I did. I appreciated speaking with Ray. Next week, you're going to hear from another state representative. Should I say who it is? I think I will say who it is. Sophie Phillips.
Hey!
Well, yeah, hooray! yeah, she'll be in next week. We'll give her the full. Well, she'll give the full rundown of what she's doing. You know, we'll find out sort of how she's doing, as the case may be, as we do with all of our sort of friends and comrades. And I hope you are enjoying as much as I'm enjoying Storm the Fort, the Knights of Labor story. I love listening to the episode when it drops because I've heard, I know at least, there's some I actually haven't heard all the way through yet, but it's just cool to hear the final one and just how good it is. So, yeah, I mean, he knows, everybody's telling him how good it is. It's good.
It's great.
It's great. Yeah. Nice job, Carl.
Finished episode 3 today. 4 is next. How many are coming out?
12.
Incredible. Carl, thank you for everything you're doing, not just on the Knights of Labor podcast. I was talking you up today. I'll tell you after the microphones got off. Jordan, thank you. We have a bunch of stuff cooking.
That's fun.
You're going to be able to do the that other FOIA thing we were talking about? I copied you on an email today. We'll talk about it. Try to pull Bill in somehow.
We'll call an unscheduled executive session.
Like, is that on the agenda? That's got to be on the agenda.
It's got to be reposted.
God damn it! Well, we're at the last. We're at public comment, and the one person came up and said left is best.